follow me very carefully. As you get older, as I get older, and as I approach my 60th birthday, you sort of get a little glimpse every once in a while of the lights of the glory world. And sometimes you get the place to where you'd really like to go on and be there. But at least you sort of realize that you're mortal. You're not here to stay. And as you get my age, at least I am, and I think most people do, you get to wondering, what have you contributed? Is the world a better place because of you? Do you stand among the faithful, brave, and true? Do the lost see Christ in you? Does your life ring true? Is the world a better place because of you? I counseled with three young people in a row recently, young men, about their future. And all three of those young men said almost exactly the same sentence. I said, what do you see for yourself 10, 15 years from now? And all three of them said almost word for word, if not word for word, I just want to be an average man. I just want to have a wife and children, and not rich and not poor. I want to go to church, and I just want to be an average man. And I almost call the title of this message today, The Sin of Being Average. The Sin of Being Average. Are you listening? The Sin of Being Average. Now, I got to think about it. That's exactly what Jesus is saying right here. He's saying, it hath been said you shouldn't kill, but he said, no, that's average. I want you to go above the average. I say you shouldn't hate. He said, it's been said you shouldn't commit adultery. That's average, but he said, I want you to go above the average. I want you to have a clean mind, not lust. He said, it's been said you shouldn't steal, but I want you to go beyond that. I want you to go above the average. I want you not to covet. It's been said you shouldn't swear falsely. But I say I want you to go above that. I don't want you to swear at all. It's been said, love those that love you. But he said, now, I want you to go beyond that. I want you to love those that hate you. I want you to follow me very carefully as I give you three reasons this morning. And I'm not preaching a sermon, I'm leaving a truth with you. I want to give you three reasons why it's a sin to be average. I want to give you three reasons why it's a sin to be mediocre, average. Reason number one, if you're average, you have to, at some of the time, fellowship with failure. You see, in order, whatever your average is, something has to be above your average for you to have that average, and something has to be below that average for you to have that average. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Look at me now. That means this. If you have a C average in school, for every A you make, you've got an F. Which means that if you have a C average, you fail some. And God does not want you to fail. I'm amazed at the indifference that our students have about making an F. As long as your average is okay. But the truth is, a C average would include some failure. Now, I would say a C average is about average. But if you're average, you have to have a failure to counteract a good success. Every time you are above a line, you got to go that far below the line to maintain the same average. Hence, you must be better than your world. Hear me now. You must be better than your world to be as good as your world all the time. Your low must be average. And if your low is average, then you've got to be above the average
Because nobody's going to make a straight seed. Now, I'm not talking about grades alone. I'm talking about life. Nobody's going to make a straight seed. You have a C average, you're going to have a B, and you're going to have a D. You're going to have an A, and you're going to have an F. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to get you to hate that F. I want you to forget your average and think of your bottom, the low. I don't want you to be worried about what the average is, but how high is the lowest that you go. I don't want to fellowship with failure. I'm not concerned about C average. I'm concerned about, do you fail? I don't want to ever be associated in any way with failure. Oh, I'd like to have you, whoever you are, a businessman, a housewife, a cook, a teacher, a full-time Christian worker, a student, whoever you are, I want you to hate the word fail. I want you to hate it. That's the sin of being average. Because if you're average, you fail some. And that's wrong. And that's sin. And that's why Jesus is saying, I don't want you to be average. He said, average is loving those that love you. He said, I want you to go above average so you can love those that hate you. Average is, don't commit adultery. He said, I want you to go above the average and have a clean mind and not lust. He said, average says, you shouldn't steal. I want you to go above that. Oh, I long for the First Baptist Church of Hammond to be a group of people that will not be satisfied with the average. And whoever those young men are this morning that I talked to, I want to lift your goals and your aspirations above the average. Because it's a sin to be average, because to be average means you've got to fail some. And I want you to hate failure. This is Father's Day, and I'm not preaching a Father's Day sermon. Please forgive me. My daddy, unless a miracle took place, is in hell this morning. My daddy never took me to a ball game or took me fishing or bought me anything except one little blue T-shirt one time. That's all he ever bought me. My mother bought me every stitch of clothes I ever wore. My daddy didn't want me. I was born. It was depression time. And I was an uh-oh. Mama was almost 40. So was Dad. They didn't want a baby. And my daddy didn't care for me. When I was a kid, I was little. My dad was a rugged man. 235 pounds. Giant of a fellow. Strongest man I ever saw. Aside from myself. He was just a rugged, strong kind of a fellow. I never saw a man that could whip him. I mean that. He was the kind of fellow that would go into a bar and just stand up on the tavern, on the bar and dare anybody to fight him. Anybody here fight? Come on. He was that kind of fellow. He never cared for me. I weighed 92 pounds when I was 17 years of age. There's always a little bit of run of a fellow. But Daddy was always so big, and he was ashamed of me. I vowed when I was a kid, I was going to be a man. I didn't look like it. But I vowed that I was going to be a man. That someday I was going to convince my daddy I was a he-man. That's one reason I joined the paratroopers in World War II. I wanted my daddy to see me wearing my wings. I wanted my daddy to feel like his son was a man. A man's man. I was sickly when I was a boy, but I got back home in the wings. I told my daddy, I said, Dad, to get these wings, I had to run 10 miles a day without stopping every day. And it didn't seem to move him. I said, Dad, I had to jump out of an airplane five times just to get these wings. That didn't seem to move him. But I vowed that someday I'd make my daddy proud of me because he'd think I was a man. When I got out of the Army in World War II, after the war was over, I couldn't find a job. I searched and I searched for employment and couldn't find it. But Daddy was laying oak floor and hanging drywall. Called it sheetrock there. Mainly laying oak floor. That's all he did, lay oak floor. Well, I went to Dad and I said, Daddy, Could I help you lay oak floor? And my daddy laughed and said, son, that's too hard for you. And I said, give me a shot at it. Why, he said, son, there's no work in the world any harder than laying oak floor. Didn't have floor layers in those days. Just had the hammer and nails and floor, and that's all. And a hardwood floor, the oak floor, unbelievably hard to drive a nail in. He said, son, you couldn't do it. I said, you have a shot at it. He said, okay. I remember the first day. It was 109 degrees officially in Dallas. My hands had one hand right there, had 40 blisters on it. The day was over. And I said, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to fail. My daddy's going to be proud of me. When I got through that first day, Dad walked up and he said, son, I don't think you can do this. I think you ought not to try. Get your job in a grocery store. I said, Dad, I guarantee you, you'll live to see the day when I can lay more oak floor than you can. For months and months as I was trying to work my way through college, I laid oak floor. And I became the man in all of our county could lay the most oak floor, even more than my dad. He never told me he was proud of me. But one day I overheard him talking to another floor layer. He said, my son works with me. He said, in the other room laying floor now. He said, my son's the best oak floor layer in this county. He can lay more oak floor than anybody in the county. And then he said these words, not to me. He said, I'm proud of him. I don't like to fail. That's why I don't want to be average. If I'm average, I've got to fail some. I don't want to fail any. We learned in our lesson this morning, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Rise above the average. Rise above the mediocre. Rise above the normal. Be better than your world. Number two, the sin of being average. Be better than your world. Number two, you must be better than your world to keep your world as good as it is. Let me have your mind. You must be better than your world to keep your world as good as it is. See, some are below average. So if the world is as good as it is when you leave, as good as it was when you got here, you've got to be above the average to counteract those that are below the average. Some will fall below. And because some fall below, if the world, when I leave it, is just as good a place as it was when I found it, I've got to be above the average. Amen. Somebody has to make up for those who hate by loving more than the average love. Did you hear me? Somebody has to make up for those whose hearts are filled with hatred. I'm preaching this morning to some people, I'm sure, whose hearts are eaten up with hatred. I'll get him, I'll get her, and you're eaten up with hatred. That means somebody has got to make up for that and love more than average loves. Somebody has to make up for the selfish ones by being above average in unselfishness. This is a world of selfishness. A world of me, I, mine, we, ours, us, and I. Somebody has got to make up for the selfish ones. I refuse to be average in love. And I refuse to be average in unselfishness. Brother, you're looking at a fellow who does not want to leave his world worse than it was when he got here. And if I leave my world as good as it was when I got here, I've got to make up for those who are below average. Now you listen to me. If we do make up for those who are below average in love, wonder who's going to have to do it? People in this room. You think the folks in the nightclub are going to do it? You think the communists are going to do it? You think that the drunkards are going to do it? You think that the world's going to do it? No, sir. I'm saying that those of us who sit in the greatest churches in the world, who sit in the greatest places on earth and heavenly places, we've got to say, if my world remains as it was when I found it, we have got to rise above the average to make up for those who are below the average. That means that somebody has to make up for the vulgar ones. Young men, not only should you not commit adultery, I'm talking to young men, all men, but all women too, but I'm talking to young men especially. Not only do I say to you, be clean and pure and don't commit adultery, but I say beyond that, keep your mind above that which is sensuous and unholy. Be above the average. Somebody's got to make up for the Playboy crowd. Somebody's got to make up for the penthouse crowd. Somebody's got to make up for the Hollywood crowd. Somebody's got to make up for the Broadway crowd. Somebody's got to make up for the TV crowd. Somebody's got to make up for the rot and filth and garbage our world is wallowing in. Brother, if our world is average, some of us are going to have to have minds as far above the average as the Playboy crowd does below the average. You say, Brother Howes, I just don't think a young man in 1986 can have a mind that's clean and pure. I say, phooey, hogwash, poppycock, and that's a lie. There's still young men and men and women whose minds rise above the sensuous. Don't have to live in a garbage dump and septic tank and cesspool of a filthy mind. Be better than your world. That means if you leave your world as you found it, somebody's got to make up for the dishonest ones. Somebody's got to be as far, look at me now, somebody's got to be as far above the average as the crooks are below the average. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, thank God we're called fanatics. I just said, you're a hyper-fundamentalist. Yeah, I'm trying to make up for the hyper-pussyfooters. Well, your standards are above average. Yes, I'm trying to make up for you, your crowd that has standards below average. I don't want to leave my world a worse place than I found it. I don't want to leave my generation worse than I found it. And if I'm going to say to those who follow me, here is the world I came into almost 60 years ago, and which I'll leave in a few years, I want to say to him, I'm giving you a world at least as good as that one that was given to me. I've got to rise in purity above, farther above the average, or as far above as the Playboy crowd degrades. I've got to rise above in unselfishness as far as the selfish crowd is below the average. We can't keep the average unless for everybody below the average we have somebody as far above the average. Some church has to make up for the dead churches. Brother Howe, don't you think your church is a little bit perverted on soul winning? Yeah. Yeah. Don't you think, Brother Howe, you're a little fanatical about this matter of soul winning?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make up for yours. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's got to be in. Listen. Nobody's going to be like you are. If people are better than they are, they'll not be like you are. So there has to be enough space between where you are and where they are so they can be better than they are and still not be where you are. You understand that? I don't either. But I read it somewhere and thought it looked good, scholarly. I expect you to jump 6 feet, I got to jump 10 feet. Please forgive me. I'm going to give you a little bit this morning, a little fodder to use to shoot me with in case you're my enemies. I want to give you a few things that you can use on me. I'll tell you that so you can get your pen, pencil out, paper. I love to fly across the country, look down on little cities, little towns, You see, 20 years ago, this coming September 24th, on my knees in my basement at home, I looked at my future and said, what should I do with it? Now, this is old hat and I won't go into it, but I promised God, among other things, that I'd do what I could to influence preachers in this country in my generation. Last year, I spoke to 38,000 different preachers in my meetings across this country. I always count them. 38,000 preachers. I say different preachers. 38,000 preachers total in my meetings. Some fellow may have been there 4 or 5 times. I don't know. But 38,000 preachers in my meetings last year. This is the truth. I've given myself to this church. And I've given myself to the preachers of America. I love to fly across the country. As I get older, look down and see a little village down there. Maybe 500 people, 1,000, 2,000. I love to wonder if maybe there's a man of God in that village. Been to pastor's school. I love to wonder maybe my little ministry hasn't been used to make that average pastor down there a better preacher than he used to be. I like to wonder if maybe he baptizes more than he would have. Maybe I'm an old man, vain, I don't know. But I've tried to be above the average. Because I want to raise the average of my generation. I said in the first place it's a sin to be average because you must fellowship with failure if you're just average. You've got to fail some if you're just average. I said in the second place, it's a sin to be average and you must be better than your own generation and your own world. Because you must be better than your world to keep your world as good as it is. And I'm going to turn it around and say thirdly, you make your world worse by being average. There is no one to counteract the below average if you're average. If I am no better than my world will be less because of me. Did you understand what I just said? If I am no better than my world will be less because of me. I want to leave my world better than it was when I found it. I want to raise the average while I'm here. I want to look my grandchildren in the eye and say, you didn't know your papa very well. But the world that you grew up in, maybe, is a little better than it was. Listen carefully. You know, things that were once bad look good now because the less than average has become worse in our generation. Doc, I preached against movies 35 years ago. Movies 35 years ago are like Sunday school classes compared to now. And we have people in this church who watch the old movies. Why? A couple that they're not married to each other, don't even know each other, hugging and kissing. That's the old movies. Now seem real good. Because movies now, they go to bed with each other. And the devil, listen, the devil and the permissive society and situation ethics and all of it has gotten so bad to what used to be bad looks good.
Why can't bad get better? Because we're above the average.
If the world has gotten so far under the average, until the average has gone down, and what is good and bad has been lowered, why didn't somebody get so fanatical for righteousness?
Until that which now is bad will look worse. I want to make the bad better. I've had my chances to be average. And I'll be honest with you. There are times I look back at my life and wish maybe I could have been average. I remember one time Russell Anderson called me and said, Dr. Tiles, you need some rest. It's been years ago now, 20. I said, what is it, Russ? He said, why don't you and I get us a cabin somewhere? Share it. Let's meet every week. Spend some time together fishing. Use the cabin. I said, you got yourself a deal, Russ. He said, well, I said, I'll go in with you and buy it. I went in with him. He bought it. But we met, and a real estate man met us in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We spent the day looking. We drove around every lake, a lot of lakes up there in the Kalamazoo, around every lake. And finally we saw it. That's it. That's it. For sale, a little duplex facing a big lake. Cutest you ever saw in your life. Realtor said, that's $22,000. And Russ said, I'll pay mine cash. I said, I'll pay mine out with a month. We bought that little cabin. I wish you could have seen the view. Wish you could have seen how pretty it was. And Russ bought a boat. One of these pontoon boats. Had a top on it and motor on it. He bought a nice boat. All kinds of fish and stuff. I went in with him and bought the boat. I went in with him. He bought the boat. But I paid out mine. I really did. I paid for the month and paid my side out. And we said we're going to meet down here. Never worked out. Never worked out. You say, why? It's too busy. Never did work out. You say, why? I'm saying I've had my chances to be average. Nobody would have been upset with me if I'd have spent a day a week on that lake with Russ. Nobody would be upset with me if I played golf every week. You forgive me, I think I deserve it like you do. I'm not against it. Except something inside me says, I've got the ear of fundamental preachers and I have for these years. Sometimes I get tired and maybe want to be average. But could I be vain again? When I came to this city 27 years ago this August, there was no real soul-winning church in this city or in this area. The average church in this area had no burden for souls. I'm not saying the churches weren't good. I'm not saying there no church that believed the Bible. I'm simply saying nobody was running buses for the dozens. Nobody had red-hot evangelism. Make the most of this if you think I'm boasting. I'm not. I'm just thanking God. You got mad at me 26 years ago in this church. You couldn't go anywhere except to the back row of the church. Thank God for the church over in Oak Forest, Bill Schroeder. Thank God for the soul-winning church in Dyer. Thank God for the soul-winning church in Lowell. Thank God for the good church in Hobart. Thank God for the good church in Chesterton. Thank God for many others. You know what? I'm simply saying because this church is here, and because we've been after sinners and risen above the average in soul winning, the average church in this area is a soul winning church now. The average has come up. I like to think maybe the average fundamental church, because of pastor school, is a little better. I like to think because of the 22 years Dr. John Rice and I traveled together. Prayed for God to help us to reach preachers. I like to think maybe that the average number of converts every Sunday in churches is better than it used to be. Jesus said, you're not supposed to commit adultery. But he said, that's average.
I want your mind to be clean and pure. I want you to be above the average. Be better than your world. He said, it's been said, don't steal. But he said, that's not for you. I want you to go above that. I don't want you to want something that's not yours and covet it. He said, it's been said, don't kill. But he said, oh, that's not enough. I want you to be better than your world. I want you not to hate. It's been said, love your friends and those that love you, but no, that's not enough for you. I want you to be better than your world. I want you to love those that hate you. He said, be better than your world. Doesn't matter to some young people now. Life is all opening up to you like the springtime buds. And life is to you like the morning dew. And life is to you like the entrance into a great new era, area. The day's going to come. And you're going to look back on a lot of your life and you're going to be on the downside of the hill. And then you're going to wish you'd been better than you were. Don't settle for being average. Look, if the average church in America, if churches in America are going to be average and retain the average they have now, we've got to have some churches above the average. Let me say this and I'll be through. I'm not a good example. Nor have I put myself up as an example. But I hope I've loved enough to counteract at least one person that hates. I hope I've been unselfish enough to counteract at least one person who's selfish and greedy. I hope my mind is clean enough to counteract at least one person who has a filthy mind. I want to leave this world better than it was when I got here. I want the average to rise. So I must not be average. Same with the house, you're sort of peculiar. Yeah, I know. See, the world wants everybody to be average. The world detests the sot and also the Puritan. But everybody... If the world lacks the average, ladies and gentlemen, just for the sake of the world, somebody has got to be above the average to make up for those below the average. Is the world a better place because of you? You stand among the faithful, brave, and true. Do the lost see Christ in you? Does your life ring true? Is the world a better place because of you? If it is, it's because you have come to be better than your world. Our Heavenly Father.